In 2013, journalist Susan Katz Miller published an important book titled Being Both, Embracing Two Religions in One Interfaith Family. With Passover and Easter both drawing near, I wanted to revisit a few highlights from that conversation. How has it been living in a family practicing two different religions?
The biggest drawback that families talk about is the necessity of having to explain yourself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What we find really helpful is that we have formed these communities in the major cities, in Washington, in New York, in Chicago. There are communities that have formed Sunday schools, religious education programs for these children, where they learn both religions side by side. And that also really helps kids with their sense of self-esteem and the sense that they're doing something that is not marginal or different.
Mm-hmm.
What I did for this book was, rather than just writing about my own family, I surveyed parents and teens and young adults who grew up in these interfaith programs. And what I was seeing is that the young people who went through these interfaith education programs often feel strongly that they want to keep both,
mm-hmm.
and that they don't feel that that's immature, that they feel like they get benefits from both. Some of them do choose a single religion.
Mm-hmm. Celebrating both Judaism and Christianity would be good for holidays because the holidays have somewhat compatible themes and that kind of thing. What was the biggest challenge between distinguishing the two religions within the home?
One of the biggest challenges is burnout, because if you try to celebrate the full set of two holidays, it's almost like you're in a continuous holiday mode, and it gets exhausting, and you do have to pick and choose, but every family picks mm-hmm. and chooses,
mm-hmm.
and every religion has a process of curating, you know, which rituals are going to be considered obsolete and which are going to be the most compelling and which are the most important to preserve. That process goes on continuously. In my family, I think certainly my children enjoyed all of the holidays. Our family tries hard to go beyond the obvious of Hanukkah and Christmas, mm-hmm. Easter and Passover. I'm very aware that families who do both are sometimes accused of doing nothing. And we are trying to be sort of maximalists rather than minimalists. And so we do not just Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah in the fall, but Sukkot and Simchat Torah. But we also celebrated the blessing of the animals in mm-hmm. honor of St. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
My kids have a great-great-grandfather who was a circuit-riding rabbi in the 19th century in Mississippi and Louisiana, mm-hmm. serving small Jewish communities on the river. I want my children to grow up knowing that story and understanding what it means to be a rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a great-great-grandfather who was an Episcopal bishop of Newark.
Hmm.
And I can't imagine raising them in a way such that they don't understand what it means to be an Episcopalian and to mm-hmm. be a bishop and the significance of that ancestor.
Susan, is there something in this book that you really wanted to talk about that I haven't asked you and given you a chance to talk about?
One point I wanted to bring up, and this is perhaps more subtle, is that there's a lot of interfaith activism and interfaith dialogue going on, especially since 9/11. And this is great. It's very important for our world. And these are events and conversations that you often take one Christian, one Jew, one Hindu, one Muslim, and have them engage in conversation or do community service together. That's all great, but there's been a sort of an invisible wall between that conversation and the interfaith families conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes interfaith families are seen as threatening because they are bridging these barriers that we're trying to put up, and the ambiguity is hard sometimes for religious institutions to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making the argument in this book that people from interfaith families, whether they're intermarried or they're interfaith children, actually have tremendous skills in building those bridges. They live day and night, 24/7, in these interfaith conversations, and they have a lot to contribute to interfaith peacemaking. And
mm-hmm.
I would like to see some of these young interfaith adults coming up be part of that interfaith conversation.
That's a great point.
Talking to these children in particular is very exciting because they are so articulate about their place as ambassadors, people who can sit with a friend who's Jewish, a friend who's Christian, a friend who's Muslim, and help that group to function. They have those skills of cross-cultural, cross-faith communication. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that's what I would find, and I did find it. And the book is filled with the stories of these children, of these couples, and all of those examples are, of course, very encouraging to me.
In addition to her book, Being Both, Embracing Two Religions in One Interfaith Family, Susan Katzmiller is a popular public speaker and writer on interfaith family issues. This year, she's assembled a useful guide to holiday celebrations across the country that welcome multi-faith families, and we'll link to it from stateofbelief.com.